I'd like for you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. As you know, I'm in the advanced class, teaching the advanced class on power for abundant living. And all of our Sunday evening services, of course, are open at the Way Biblical Research Center. And even if I'm in the midst of teaching a class, the Sunday evening sessions are open. So some of you people who perhaps are newcomers in here for the first time, or those of you people listening to the broadcast, may hear me say some things that you may wonder about, but I am confident that you would not wonder about them had you been here in this advanced class. Naturally, I am not going to go into the depth tonight of some of the things that we ordinarily go into in the depth of the advanced class, but it is along the line of the advanced class, and I believe it will be meaningful to all of you people in the auditorium as well as to our broadcast audience. We've been dealing in the advanced class with two of the manifestations of the Spirit, namely called the Word of Knowledge and the Word of Wisdom. We have traced these two manifestations down to a minute accuracy all through the Old Testament. And tonight I'd like to go to this chapter of the 15th chapter of the book of Acts to trace some of these wonderful truths with you in this chapter. This is the record in the Word of God regarding the avoiding of the first split in the Christian church. Without the operation and the manifestations of the Spirit of the Word of Knowledge and the Word of Wisdom, the church would have split at this time into oodles of different pieces, like it's been split ever since you can remember. I understand here in the United States, more than 4,000 or 5,000 different denominations. There would have been, all of these denominations would have started, or the splits would have started way back here at the in the Bible time of which I'm going to read you tonight, had it not been that men and women were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were men and women who spoke in tongues, interpreted and prophesied. They were men and women who operated the Word of Knowledge, the Word of Wisdom, and who manifested forth in the power or action manifestations, faith, miracles, and healing. It was because of the operation of manifestations that the first split in the Christian church was avoided. That is the record that we're going to be reading tonight, and I'm going to try to set it before you so that all of us can understand it and see the greatness of it. In verse 1 of chapter 15, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren." The brethren are those who had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, who were born again of God's Spirit. They had come down from Judea, and of course this specifically from the city of Jerusalem, and they were teaching those people in that area, "Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be what? Saved." This is what they were teaching. That except these people were be circumcised and go under that old law, the law of Moses again, they just weren't saved. That's why verse 2 says, "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension." They had no small dissension. These were people who had come from Judea, born again of God's Spirit, but they'd come over to the Antioch area, and they said, "Now you people who are born again over here, that's wonderful, but it's not quite good enough unless you get circumcised and get back under the law of Moses with us." And of course, this turned Paul on, and Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension. No small dissension. The word dissension is argument, literally. And disputation. The word disputation is questioning. They had no small argument or questioning. They sat for hours with them, showed them the Word of God, tried to persuade them, argued with them from the Word, everything. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. You see the problem that has now arisen? Tremendous problem has now confronted the church for the first time publicly. The church has been moving out from Judea into Samaria and then around the areas up into Antioch in Syria. And there they're growing by leaps and bounds. Gentiles are coming into the church. And information news gets back by courier or Western Union. I don't know how they got it back to maybe satellite. Over to Jerusalem, that these tremendous things are happening in Antioch, but it's just too good to be true. Therefore, we better send some fellows up there to tell them, now that's wonderful for you Gentiles, but you better get circumcised to make sure that you get within the pale of this thing. And when those fellows got up there, Paul and Barnabas really got disturbed. And they had no small argument with them and questioning. No small. You know what that means biblically? They had a big argument. They sat up all night and maybe half the next day. And they kicked it around back and forth. And you know something? I know scriptures that must have come up. Word of God that must have been presented to those men who had come down from Judea and had been teaching the brethren, except they be circumcised after the manner of Moses, they could not be saved. There is a scripture that I'm sure must have come up in Acts chapter 1. Listen to this. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They certainly said to these men, you want us to be circumcised? Well, Jesus Christ himself, before he sent it up into heaven, said that once the Holy Spirit would be given on the day of Pentecost, water would be out. Now, if water is out, what about circumcision? It's out. And if circumcision's out, what about water? You see, circumcision's pretty well out for the church today, but we're still all wet in the water. But this is the kind of stuff they argued about. Well, hadn't Jesus Christ said this before he ascended? I didn't write the book. I didn't say it. He said exactly what it says there. John baptized with what? Water. But ye shall, and ye shall puts it in the absolute, not a maybe, not an if and, not a perhaps. But ye shall be baptized with Pneumahagion, Holy Spirit. There happens to be a wonderful law in God's wonderful, matchless word, that when the greater comes, the lesser always terminates. And with the coming of the new birth and the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, water went out because something bigger came. That's right. I'll bet Romans records that are written in Romans came up too. Look at Romans 3. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his what? And one of the deeds of the law was circumcision. And they came down from Judea and said, except you be circumcised, you can't be saved. And I'll say in that small, no small argument, they said to them, look, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. Therefore, circumcision is a deed of the law. You can't get justified in his sight by circumcision. How about verse 24? Being justified freely by his what? Grace. In that no small argument, they certainly presented the grace of God, being justified freely, not reluctantly, not hesitantly, but to be justified freely by his grace. And they showed them the grace of God as set up over against the legalism of the law of circumcision, water baptism, and everything else. And those other fellows from Judea said, oh, you're not. You got to get circumcised. Then the fight was on. Look at Galatians. You better keep your finger in Galatians. No, you can do it anyway. Corinthians, Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in what? The liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with what? What's the yoke of bondage? The law, and part of that law, of course, was circumcision. And I can just hear Paul and Barnabas speaking to those men from Judea and saying to them, look, we're standing fast on the liberty in Christ Jesus, and we're just not going to allow God's people to again be entangled with the yoke of bondage. We have been justified freely by his grace. By the deeds of the law can no man be justified. And sometime if you'll read the rest of the book of Romans, especially the first part of it, I think you will see that exactly what I'm setting before you tonight, plus many other things that are being used in that book of Romans, was exactly what Paul and Barnabas were endeavoring to say to these men. And so, after this had gone on for some time, they decided, according to verse 2, they determined. The word determined, by the way, is appointed. Paul and Barnabas and certain others also to go with Paul and Barnabas, that they should go up to what? Now, how in the world do you think they made that decision of whether they were to go up to Jerusalem? How did they know they were to go to Jerusalem? I remember one fellow wanted to go to Jerusalem once before. Do you? Huh? When he wanted to go to Jerusalem once before, what did the Spirit say? Don't go. But this time, they want to go to Jerusalem, and they go, and they're free to go. How do you think they got this information this time? Revel it. Word of knowledge. Word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Go up where? They had this great disputation over their great questioning, and finally, when they got together and they got quiet, Father said to them, why, just take the whole thing and go over to Jerusalem and have it out. Why? Because Jerusalem was the headquarters where these fellows had come from. Jerusalem was the place where the church originally started on the day of Pentecost. This is where the apostles stayed. Remember when the persecution set in and they were all dispensed all over the other areas, the apostles remained in Jerusalem. And so the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom was, go back to Jerusalem with it. That's why it says they went back to Jerusalem. And it says, go up to Jerusalem unto what? The apostles and what? Elders about this question. Now, that's terrific. Doesn't say go up to Jerusalem and get the Jerusalem Times to publish the argument and the TV production in Jerusalem to air it. The word of knowledge and the word of wisdom was, go up to Jerusalem and speak to the apostles and what? Let's see after a bit if this is what they did. Don't get in a hurry. It'll be coming. Now verse 3. We're starting out now. We're going to Jerusalem. And being brought on their way by the what? I love that. You know, this must have been a hot time over there in Antioch, Syria, boy. Good fight, you know, big fight. But when Paul and Barnabas and certain others started out from Jerusalem, they had the word of the Lord, go up to Jerusalem, see the apostles and elders, and who brought them on the way? The church. The church. They were brought on their way by the church. Now, literally, this is true, but it's also true in another way. You know, they literally walked with them some distance and brought them on their way. Oodles of them went along with them. But they also paid their expenses. That's right. They gave them food. They gave them everything else they needed because Paul and Barnabas were going to Jerusalem plus these others to represent them, the church. That's included in that meaning from the text, brought on their way. And they passed through Phoenicia. This is Phoenice here in your King James. It's the country, you know, along the border, a coastline of the Mediterranean up north below Antioch is Phoenicia. And then comes Samaria on down the line. And as they were coming along through Phoenicia and Samaria, every time they stopped overnight, you know what they talked about? The war in Vietnam. The problems in our community. Who's going to be the next president? No. You know what they talked about? They declared the conversion of the Gentiles. They talked about the Word of God and how people were getting delivered and saved and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. All the way down, every time they get, every place they went. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. In every little community where there were believers, and they'd stop with those believers, oh, you know, and have a cup of coffee and a piece of pie or something. And then they'd talk about how God was really delivering people, what He was doing for them. And every place they went, what did the people do? They rejoiced. They rejoiced. Great joy among the brethren. And when it says great joy, you know what I mean? Great joy. It's effervescing joy. You know, like that stuff you drop in a glass when you have a bad stomach. Or something. And verse 4. Alka-Seltzer. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received in Jerusalem of the what? Church. And of the what? And the what? Wonderful. Yet the word of the Lord was, the word of knowledge was, go to Jerusalem and tell who? The apostles and what? But over here it looks like what? The church was included. Was it? Hold your horses. Well, anyways, just hold it in abeyance for a minute. They were received of the church in Jerusalem. The apostles and the elders. The elders means the older spiritual people. Older in years. Understand? They received them. But, verse 5, there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of what? This is the same bunch that was over there in verse 1 of chapter 15. These were people of the Pharisees, the ruling class of people. And these people believed that the only way these Gentiles or anybody else could be saved would be if they were circumcised. Now in Galatians, where I told you to keep your finger, chapter 2, in verse 2, you have the record in Galatians of what I'm just reading in Acts. And I went up by what? Revelation. I told you. The way they went. They went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. But, what? Privately, and yet we just read that they were received by the church, the apostles and the elders, right? But over here in Galatians, he tells the record again when he said he went up there. He taught it to them privately, to them which were of what? Reputation. Those that would be of reputation would refer to the elders and the apostles. Lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. And if you go back, Acts 15, you'll read in verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to what? He never told the church, did he? No. The word of knowledge was, go tell the apostles and elders. The church at Antioch started bringing them on their way toward Phoenicia and then on down to Samaria. When they got to Jerusalem, the whole church received them. And I can just see that church body just effervescing, just looking forward and saying, boy, I wonder if he's going to tell us about the fight. I wonder if we can all hear about the fight. Paul got up and he had a wonderful greeting and said, we all love you from Antioch, Syria, and we bless God good for you. Pronounced the benediction, and they all went home except the apostles and elders. And then they closed the door, and maybe John put the key in the pocket, you know, Yale, or something. He put it in his pocket, and the elders and the apostles were there, and then Paul and Barnabas presented what had happened, exactly according to the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom of verse 2. That's right. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Again. Verse 3. But neither Titus, who was what? With me. Titus, who was with me. We had read a little while ago in Acts that certain others went along besides Paul and Barnabas. One of those had to be who? How many more, I don't know, but this Titus was there. Being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Neither Titus, you know, who was a Gentile, they didn't compel him to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately or secretly to spy out our what? Liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ Jesus. Remember some of those things? Which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into what? But of these, to whom? To whom? Verse 5. To whom? These fellows who came in to argue, you know, as they rehearsed among the elders and the apostles this whole matter, to whom we gave place by subjection? No, sir, not for 1 second, not for 1 hour. We didn't give in to them. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But, verse 7, contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of circumcision was unto whom? Peter, back to Acts. And the apostles and elders came together, verse 6, for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and what, brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us. How a good while ago, Peter got up and he addressed the church body, the church dignitaries, and the thing he said, do you fellas remember how a good while ago, what do you think Peter was thinking about and what was he talking about? The record is written in Acts chapter 10. How God a good while ago made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That's what Peter said. Look at Acts 10. Verse 44, household of Cornelius, Gentile, remember? While Peter yet spake these what? The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, flabbergasted, as many as came with Peter, but on the Gentiles what? Also, that on the Gentiles also, that on the Gentiles what? Also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak with tongues and what? Ah, back to Acts 15. What do you think Peter was saying? You know what he was saying? He said, you fellows remember a good while ago when I was called to minister to the Gentiles, and that while I was preaching, before anybody got his cutting knife out or anything else, or before they got the immersion tub. While I was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at what? The beginning. And the Gentiles what? Also without what? Without circumcision. Don't you see it? That's what Peter was saying. Oh, what a tremendous record in God's Word. Here we're ready to split the church. Boy, they're madder than hornets at each other. The group down there in Jerusalem says you got to circumcise, boys. The fellows up here said, no, sir, we stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ Jesus has set us free. By grace we're saved. We're justified freely by His grace. By the deeds of the law, no man can be justified. That's right. And the fellows in Jerusalem said, you got to get circumcised. Big fight. Finally, Peter gets up and he says, now listen, fellows. Remember a long time ago while I preached down there in the household of the Cornelius, the Gentiles, before anybody could get circumcised or water baptized or anything else, boom, boom, they got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. And the proof was that those believers who came along heard them speak in tongues, magnifying what? And they were astonished, flabbergasted, their eyeballs fell out almost. That's right. A tremendous record here. Well, good, huh? Boy. Verse 8. And God, who knows the hearts, bear them witness, because He gave them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us. Without what? Circumcision. Don't you see it? Without water baptism. Even though old Peter thought they ought to be water baptized, God said to him, don't you do it. You know, Acts chapter 11 tells us that. And put, verse 9, no difference between them, between us and them. Why? Because He purified their hearts by circumcision, by water baptism, by foot washing, by burning the candles backwards, by taking the offering at the right time, by wearing the proper clerical gowns. God forbid. No, He purified their hearts by what? That's what it says. That's what it means. Not of works, lest any man should what? Oh, you talk about Peter, even though Peter gets off the ball at times, so what? You and I get off. Peter has a right to get off. Paul has a right to get off. But boy, he wasn't off the ball this day, was he? I tell you, he was batting 100 every time he's opened his mouth. That's right. Man, what a record. What a tremendous record. Now, therefore, verse 10, why do we want to tempt God? Why tempt ye God to put a yoke? You know what a yoke is? It's not the end of the yoke, that's a yoke. Binds you in, you're not free. And people, if you look round about you today, how many, many, many times have you seen people who are really encased, they're enslaved. Even though they're people who say they're Christians, who belong to the church, who go faithfully, but when you look at their lives, are they free? Or are they full of fear and worry and anxieties and frustrations, bowed down, encumbered and encased? That the man out here on the street who doesn't believe there's a God in heaven, nor much less cares, walks around with a great deal more freedom and happiness and glory and exuberance? Why, you know that. Why? Because all through these centuries, what we've been primarily doing is just putting a yoke back on the people. Because we hope thereby that I can keep you encased in my little clan. Sure. And every yoke that anybody puts on God's people is just like that law. It'll never set you free. I want to tell you something. If the love of God in Christ Jesus living within your heart is not big enough, no yoke in the world is worth putting on you. You can just go straight to hell. That's right. That's right. I tell you, it's like we teach them in the foundational class, you know. If I had to give an altar call and get you down here to get saved, I'd let you go to hell sitting there. That's right. If you got to come up here to find him, you might as well lose him back there, because you and I will not find him up here if you got up here. This is why, people, you cannot write the rules and regulations and say, now this fellow's going to get saved like this, this fellow's going to get saved like this, and when you're saved, you wash your feet. When you're saved, you wash your nose. If you can say circumcision or water baptism, you could go right along and say all the rest, right? That's exactly what we've been doing, and we got those people so yoked in, they've never learned to walk in the liberty and the freedom of Christ Jesus, so they could for once in their life breathe and take a stand and say, thus saith the Lord, come hell or high water. It's our real privilege when you throw that yoke off someday, boy, girl. When you break out of that confinement, and for once in your life, you're like a bird outside of a cage, and the master's dead, you can just flit all over the place. Boy, what a love of God starts building in your soul. And for once in your life, you know that you're a Christian. You and Christ make a majority. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I can do all things through Christ who what? We are more than what? He came that we might have life and have it less and less. No, more abundant. Boy, when that thing begins to dawn, then Christianity lives again. And it isn't living today. It's just a bunch of baloney for the most part, because where are the men and women with that love and that exuberance and that glory and that power? All a little bit in case. That some of us who have taken the stand on the liberty wherewith Christ Jesus has set us free. And we're not going to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And old Peter, boy, that day, he laid it right on the line. Man, what a tremendous record. The church is just ready to bust, you know. They're going to pull each other's hair, cut each other's throat, and they're not even going to talk to each other anymore. Why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the believers, the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to what? Bear. That's it. But, sets it in contrast. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Isn't that wonderful? We believe that through the grace, grace is divine favor, mercy of God. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be what? Amen. Verse 12. Then, all the multitude, the apostles, the elders, and the Pharisaical fighters that had come in gave audience to Barnabas and what? Paul. And Barnabas and Paul declared what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Now, they didn't do this in 5 minutes. Paul at least must have spoken 2.5 hours. Can't teach a class less. And Barnabas must have had a good go at this thing. The tremendous thing. And after they, verse 13, had held their peace, after they were all finished, James who? The Lord's brother, one of the heads of the church in Jerusalem. Remember who went down from Samaria? Peter and who else? John, wasn't it? Went down from Jerusalem to Samaria. Well, James was also one of these top men among the apostles. And on this occasion, James gets up. And James answered and said, men and brethren, you listen to me. Hearken unto me. Simeon, or Simon, Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit who? The Gentiles, to take out of. And the word take out of is lambano, and I love that. To lambano is to manifest. What were they manifesting? Well, Acts 10, what did they manifest? They all spoke in tongues. They were born again to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophet that is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Verses 15 to 18 are rather clumsy in the King James and every other translation I've ever read. I'm going to read you one we did literally, according to usage from the Greek text, the Aramaic text. Those of you who take shorthand can write it down. The rest of you just have to live on the misty flats. Acts 15, 16 to 18. After these things, I will build again and will build up the tent of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the things overturned thereof, and I will make it upright, that the remnant of man might earnestly seek the Lord, and all the nations on whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who maketh all these things known from the laying of the world. After he had given these words, James said that which is recorded in verse 19. Wherefore my sentence is. That's a real clumsy thing. My sentence, you know, like the reason he gave it this way, I think, is because it's Old English and English law. The judge handed out the what? Sentence. That's the final declaration. And this is why they use it this way. But in essence, this is my declaration. But when he declared it, he got it by word of knowledge, what to say. Peter got up by word of knowledge, and he was the one who brought that. Then James gets up by word of knowledge and word of wisdom, and he brings forth. That's why he says, this is my sentence, this is my revelation, this is what I have to give to you. That we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to what? But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols. Boy, you talk about word of knowledge and word of wisdom. And that's up. You know, writing a word back over there to Antioch and saying, now you fellows, we think you're great. We the circumcision business is all out. But it'll just make the fellows over here in Jerusalem happy if you just don't bring so much soup down there to those idols. That didn't disturb them any up in Antioch. But if they'd have sent word back and said, now, fellas, we've been at this longer than you have. You know, it all started with us down here, and we're the fellas been paying the bills all these years. Now, you fellas up there fall in line with us. You know what would have happened in the early church? They'd have plainly said, go to hell, and they'd have done it. That's right. They'd have just said that in plain language, said nuts to you. And they'd have walked out, and the church would have been split in 1,000 pieces. But James had revelation, John, and the revelation was, just send them a little postcard with Barnabas and Paul when they go back up, and just tell them, fellas, if you don't mind, just abstain from pollution of idols, and a little bit of fornication, and those things that strangle, and a little bit of blood. I know it had to be revelation, because Paul just said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ Jesus set us free. And now this record comes through, and one of the liberties that Christ Jesus set you free, you can eat what you fool want to eat. You may die sooner, but you still have the privilege. That's right. Sure. Well, and that Paul didn't get up, you know, and say, boy, he saw the thing, revelation. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. That's what he said. And the second part, you know, verse 21, pleased those Judeans very much because he mentioned old man Moses and all the synagogues. Remember that? Boy, don't you see this word of knowledge and word of wisdom? He gets the word back into Jerusalem for them. He gets the word over in Antioch. The group over here in Jerusalem's tickled to death what he's saying about those fellows quitting eating all that stuff up there. And the fellows up there are happy to know that down there in Jerusalem, Moses was a little bit revered, everybody's happy. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Then pleased at the apostles and elders with the whole church. Now, after it's all over with, they give the information to the whole church that everything's hunky-dory, it's wonderful. Boy, God's really on the move. To send chosen men. Send chosen men. Chosen men. They didn't send any second-rate argumentative bird down there. They hand-picked it. And who do you think they would have hand-picked? Somebody that'd go up there and have an old fighting spirit? No. They picked the sweetest, loving person they could possibly pick. And one that had some prestige, some authority behind him. To go up there with them. Now that's grace too, isn't it? Real gracious. Word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Chosen men. Chosen men. They sent to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Who were they? Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men, top brass. I told you they were. We read it sooner or later. Top men, chief men, among the brethren in Jerusalem. Judas and Silas. Now they sent them, but they did something else. Verse 23, they wrote a letter. They composed a letter in the church conference to send by special carrier Judas and Silas along with Barnabas and the fellow that didn't have two other logos, the Greek Gentile, Titus and Paul, all the way back. Not only a letter, but men. Don't you see how they're really walking by revelation? They're not just going 1 mile, they're going three. They're going all the way. Because the word of the Lord was, do this. And they were obedient to the word of the Lord. And when they were obedient, the whole thing just fit like a hand in a glove. Everything was just perfect. This is what they wrote. The apostles and elders and brethren, send greetings unto whom? The brethren. Boy, when they read that back in the church in Antioch, the buttons flew off their shirts. Sure, you know, sense knowledge-wise, what they were expecting in Antioch? A bunch of knives inside of the envelope. That's right. Yeah, but instead, it says, greetings from the brethren here to the brethren over there. Oh, boy, isn't that wonderful? They have put them up as brethren. Well, when we're born again of God's Spirit, are we not? We send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, Cilicia. Boy, verse 24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words. They admitted their mistake. They never sent those fellows, but those fellows said we had come out from Jerusalem. They were from the gang, you know. Sure. Well, boy, when they write this letter, they're honest. Subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law. To whom? We gave no such rod. Man, that settled the argument back in Antioch. Because now the officials, the elders, and the apostles in Jerusalem send word back and say, brethren, we love you back there and we want to tell you that even though these fellows came out from our midst and they came over there and troubled you, we want to tell you we never sent them. They had no authority from us to go. It seemed good, verse 25, unto us, being assembled with one accord, unity of purpose, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Boy, oh boy, the word beloved is what beats you on that. You know what? Huh? The word beloved. Those fellows in Jerusalem says, our beloved Paul. Well, what do you think the fellows in Antioch thought of Paul? Boy, you said anything about Paul, you lost your dandruff. They'd take your hair off. Why? Because Paul, all Asia, had heard the word of God in 2 years and what? 3 months. He was the man of God that had really opened that territory and bled his heart out for them, delivered them, stayed up with them all night to teach them the word. He was their beloved Paul back here. And for the people in Jerusalem to send a word up and say, our beloved Paul, man, that turned those fellows on in Antioch, Syria. I'll bet they just lived it up. They just thanked God. They just gloated over the greatness of this wonderful truth. And it was true. Our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord, what? And everybody back in Antioch knew this. They were glad to find out that Jerusalem appreciated and knew it too. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same thing by mouth. They just didn't send a letter. They sent these men to carry it also by mouth. Isn't that great? For it seemed good. Here it is. It seemed good to the Lord. Holy Ghost. Seemed good to the Holy Ghost, to the Holy Spirit. To seem good to the Holy Spirit, it has to be what? Revelation. That's right. To lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Just abstain from meats offered idols, and blood, and things strangled. Fornication, from which if you keep yourself, you do well. Fare you well. Hallelujah. Live it up. Man, oh man. What a tremendous thing. Verse 30 says, so when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. They go back to Antioch. TWA, real quick. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. Hey, they got the whole church together on the return, the whole multitude, everybody they could get. And then they delivered the letter, the epistle. Barnabas was there, Paul was there, Titus was there, Silas was there, Judas was there, and certain others that had been down there. They were all there. They delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they what? Rejoiced for the consolation, the comfort, the peace, the quietness, the serenity that was there. That's the record in God's wonderful, matchless word of how the first split in the Christian church was avoided. And it was avoided because they were men of God filled with the Holy Spirit operating manifestations. And no matter how hot they got under the collar, they finally cooled off and believed God for revelation. And when that revelation came, they made up their minds to walk by it. And when they walked by that revelation, the breach was healed between the old church in Jerusalem and that new movement up there in Antioch of Syria that was just catching fire all over the world. Word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Without that word of knowledge and without that word of wisdom, we always walk in darkness. Without that word of knowledge and that word of wisdom, we just never quite know. This is why we need this advanced class. We need to work this word to find out how that word of knowledge and that word of wisdom operates. How you can operate it. Where it is to be operated. What the situations are. This is the great record in the word of God regarding this truth of the operation of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom in relationship to the church of the first century and the healing of the breach. And from that day on, they no longer asked them to be water baptized. They no longer asked them to be circumcised. They no longer asked them to have any foot washing. Because the church had finally arrived at the place where they could stand in the liberty wherewith Christ Jesus had set them free. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for the greatness of Thy love and of Thy mercy and goodness unto us. We thank You for Your wonderful presence and power and the immensity and the greatness of Your word. Father, how truly grateful we are for Your loving kindness and tender mercy. How grateful we are for the wonderful presence of Your Holy Spirit and for everything You have done for us through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.